Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, inviting you to tune in for Community Matters on Sunday morning starting at 8:30, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through issues that matter most to you right here in Warren. 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on the Greatest Hits 92 Gold.
This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And joining me today on the Community Matters program are members of the steering committee for the Ukraine Relief Initiative. And I'm really excited today to be joined by Piper and Thomas and Father Rick Tomasoni. And I'm really excited to be able to talk to you today about the different work that you guys have all done, and whether that is abroad, whether that's here in Warren County. And I'm really excited to kind of go through the different ways that people here in Warren County can contribute both abroad and here in Warren County to what's going on in Ukraine. So with that being said, Piper, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today and go through this, because you have had more experience than me or anyone else sitting around here at this table with what's going on physically in Ukraine right now, because you've been in Lviv and you've had the opportunity to travel to Poland and just work with everyone in that area. Would you mind going through a little bit of the details of your first two trips and then tell us a little bit more about what you have plan, because I understand you're going back again.
So in early April, through Matt McKissick reaching out and talking with him, he was over in Krakow when the crisis sort of really hit and had found a group of Polish volunteers that basically outlined their neighborhood, which is 7-8 times the size of the city of Warren, and decided, you know, they had decided any Ukrainian refugees that landed in their neighborhood, they would figure out a way to take care of them. Housing, food, clothing, whatever it is that they needed. That is when the Ukraine Relief Initiative was born. So my daughter and I went over in early April to volunteer in Krakow, and that was everything from, you know, basic need supplies, vans full of them, you know, soap, shampoo, conditioner, hairbrushes, toothbrushes, rice, buckwheat flour, sunflower oil, canned goods. We also made a trip to the border. We were able to drop off some supplies and also bring a refugee family back to Krakow. So just a lot of running around. Certainly, there was no headquarters at that point. There was no sort of home base for this volunteer team of Polish partners. Incredible humans, by the way. We were there for a week at that point in early April, came home, and then early May, my son and I went back with our friend Megan. This time, we did a bit of the same as far as gathering basic need supplies and getting them to places in Poland, but we also were able to go into rural Ukraine. You mentioned that we were in Lviv, but that truly was, we were there for about a half hour. We were simply dropping supplies and picking up a friend. Most all of our time was spent at a new refugee center that was about 20 kilometers over the border in a very rural area. Actually looks almost identical to Lander. And this space, it's an old dormitory. They call it the Nest because there's a giant white stork nest on the chimney. And it houses 80 women and children from eastern Ukraine who had, you know, fled their homes, their communities, and left all of their belongings behind, including their families. So we went there initially just to drop off basic food, and we didn't realize at the time, you know, on our way in, just what it was that we would, you know, see when we were there. And they just were lacking a lot of basic. The bedding was really upsetting. We met Tatiana, a pretty extraordinary woman who sort of by default became mother hen of the nest, and she showed us the bedding. She was very concerned for the kids and for the elderly. They needed more food, you know, basic hygiene supplies. They had no washing machine. They had one broken shower for 80 people. So we made our one trip in, you know, went to the nest, dropped off food, went to Lviv, picked up a friend, dropped off supplies, and then sat at the border of Poland for 2.5 hours trying to get back in. And that's when we sort of made the decision that we need to help these folks at the nest. So officially, I feel like at that point, URI sort of decided to officially say, we are going to take ownership of getting supplies to the nest from this day on. So we were able to get all of those things, you know, 40 mattresses, washing machine, a shower, a lot of food, medicines, and also put in water purification system, which is really cool because they were, you know, walking 10 minutes down the road with a jug in order to get clean drinking water from a spring that we still weren't sure was actually, you know, should be consumed. So now they have a faucet inside the nest with clean drinking water. So that was our first whirlwind sort of two trips there. On July 14th, I'll leave here for a quick 5-day trip, flying back into Poland and return to the nest with supplies, but also to a new center that we have also committed to sending supplies, and it's called the Falcon. It's a couple hours away from the nest in a very rural area, and it is run by a woman named Oksana, and Oksana's family lived in Bucha, and when the war hit Bucha, her and her husband and kids, you know, she had her husband take the kiddos west, and she went to go get her parents. And Oksana is a very well-known surgeon in Ukraine. She is sort of decorated, for lack of better words, at the moment. And when she went to get her parents, her mother had been killed, and she was able to perform surgery on her father and save him. So in the spirit of her mother, she formed a hospital in rural Ukraine that works with other NGOs and nonprofits to help injured, disabled, and elderly Ukrainians get out of the eastern side of Ukraine into safety, and they need care. So Oksana works with them. She has 400 people right now that she takes care of. And when I say takes care of, it's medical, but it's also, she has a very small team of 8 volunteers, and they find everything that is needed for each person in there. So when their level of care, you know, when they reach this point where they feel that they could now leave the hospital, you know, there's a volunteer that basically scours all of the housing, tries to find something that will work. And, you know, if they need a wheelchair, they're given a wheelchair, and a ramp is built. You know, most all of these people left everything, all of their documents, all of, you know, so they try to help them get all of their documents in order, and, you know, food is delivered. I mean, it is care start to finish, and it's sort of never ending. So Matt McKissick and Nathan Onufer, who's also a Warren native, they went to the Falcon a couple weeks ago, met Oksana, and now will return with a load of supplies.
That is really important. And one thing that I wanted to bring up when, you know, you're talking about the supplies and things along those lines, the idea that I originally had when I thought about this, which I have learned quickly, is it's just a flawed understanding, is, you know, that you could pack up just cans of stuff and send them over there. But when you think about it, there are things like when you're traveling over there, there are things that are so much more important to bring with you that you're not able to get over there, like medical supplies, things like antibiotics and things that you need to keep yourself safe over there, soap and other just things that we wouldn't really consider that would really take more importance when you're packing. And when you think about it, that's what makes it more important that people here are able to donate and do things like that, because $10 can do a lot more when buying supplies in Poland than it could to take some of those, like $10 worth of materials here, and try to get them over there in the same manner.
Yeah, absolutely. We were actually working on getting our list of needs for our trip heading over. And you're absolutely right. I mean, there are so many things that are so much less expensive that, you know, the American dollar goes so far when you're in Poland that it would be silly to fill a suitcase with. Certainly, urgently needed medical supplies, and that has been even something as simple as tourniquets, you know, that has been something you can't find over there at all. So we just wait to hear from our partners over there, and then, you know, about 10 days before we leave here, we'll put a list out as far as, you know, if you want to pitch in $10, that you can go right, you know, it's got links on there that you can buy the supplies right there and have them sent to us prior to leaving.
So how would people go to do that? Is there a good website that they could find for it, or is it a Facebook page?
It is, yeah. Ukraine Relief Initiative is on Facebook. It's a page on there. So when the updated list comes out, that's where it'll be posted. It's also worth noting, you know, I mean, we have a volunteer manual on there as well, and a pretty active sort of community. If anyone else is interested in going to Krakow to volunteer, we're always looking for folks to do that as well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and that's the thing. What you do over there is really, really important. And having people on the ground to be able to do it is really important. And I've been fortunate enough here to be able to hear some of the different stories that you've been able to tell about your time in the first couple of weeks that you were there. And it really just shows to me how important it is to have people that are able to, if they're able to take the time out and do it, that would be something that would be just massively helpful. And there's an understanding that, you know, once you're over there, you'll be able to figure out something that you can do to help.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And things have changed a little bit. It's really interesting to sort of take a month in between our trips over there. When Lily and I went in early April, I mean, it was still very cold, number one, which, you know, when it's still bitter cold, it adds this layer of crisis to everything when you're talking about folks who have just arrived with only the clothing on their backs. But there was no home base. Our Polish volunteers, our partners over there, you know, people constantly say, wow, you know, it's just so incredible what you did and things along that line. But the truth is, we went over for 6 days twice and then we came home. And it's really that simple. We just tried to do as much as we could, as quick as we could, to help set all of our expectations aside. I mean, the real heroes in all of this are our Polish partners. I mean, every time that we return home, I just sit and try to think for a solid hour or two about how they are able to maintain, how they can keep up with this demand that is truly, you know, they're all moms and dads. They have kiddos. They all have jobs, yeah. Full-time regular jobs. And how they have set themselves aside is so inspiring. And equally as inspiring, the Ukrainian women that have come to them for services. I guess I should back up. You know, they have a home base now. Through the help of Ukraine Relief Initiative, they were able to secure a space in Krakow and open up a Ukrainian community center, which is just such a cool thing to see. One of the underlying crises that we noticed, Lily and I really noticed when we were there, is that, you know, tens of thousands of families in Krakow have taken in refugee families. And those resources are just becoming more and more thin. And when you're talking about a mother with three small children and, you know, a bedroom in the house that was cleared out for them, it's not like mom could go get a job because she's got these kiddos at home. So the community center that was just opened, it's there to help with that layer of the crisis. They have childcare. They offer resume service, language services, learning English, learning Polish. They have help as far as like clothing for job interviews and all of those things. They also work with the teenagers, a lot of art classes and, you know, things like that. It's a way for these women, these families who've had to leave everything behind. It's a way for them to start to take that step forward in what has to be, I mean, everything is so unknown. They sort of take you by the hand. So just a really amazing effort to see come to fruition by this group of volunteers that are awesome humans.
You know, and I have to say, shout out to those 8 women that became the moms that you were talking about there, because yeah. I understand from what you were talking about, you guys were bringing in at one point for several days, you guys were doing 350 plus deliveries of different foods and stuff, like meals for people. When you talk about that, that's one of the things that I was thinking about too, talking about the foods and stuff like that, they come over here and how that works. Rationing, you know, when you take a bar of soap and it gets divided up either, I think, 3 or 6 ways, it's something where it is more beneficial to just be able to purchase it and have it there, but
yes.
It just shows how much it's needed.
Yeah, and the need, I mean, as far as Lily and I left, the day before we left, they estimate that 8,000 to 10,000 refugees had shown up at the train station in Krakow, which is a pretty major way for them to arrive. But it does seem that that's calmed down a little bit. I don't know that calmed down is the right words to use, but it's still, the need is so incredible. It really doesn't change. It just sort of changes shape, if that makes sense. It seems as though it's gotten better in a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways, it's just sort of maintained.
Well, that's why we're hoping that people will take a look at the Facebook page there, see what they can do, see what they can donate. And what I hope is that people sit down and say, hey, either I'm
unemployed and I don't have much to do right now, and I can go over there and help a little bit, or, you know, maybe they happen to have some time and they'd like to do that. Hopefully people are able to hear this and have some sort of an idea that, hey, I can go over there and help too.
Sure.
And I guess the next thing when we'll transition to talking with you, Father Rick, that I wanted to discuss is that there are things that people can do, whether they're looking abroad and helping, like what Piper was mentioning, but there are also things that people can do if they're looking to help here in Warren County as well. And like you mentioned, Piper, you know, there's a lot of people, and you know, they travel through Krakow on their way to where they're going, but we could be the final destination for more people. And like what we've talked about a little bit with the consultancy agency that, you know, the county had paid to have done, we're able to support more Ukrainian families. And I would really love to see that here in the community. And Father, you know better than anyone else in the community here just what a privilege it is to be able to have them here. Would you mind telling us a little bit about it?
It really is a privilege to have them here. Sunday was their 1 month anniversary of arriving in Erie. They had traveled to get here for about 24 hours, so they were exhausted by the time we got them back to Warren. We just tried to not focus on the big picture, because the big picture of the humanitarian crisis is so overwhelming. You just want to say, what can you do? So you have to narrow it down. As Piper said, you narrow it down to things that you can deal with a little bit better. Unfortunately, my connection with a former basketball player is very strong. I treat her as family. She was willing to take in a family. She didn't know who it was going to be. And it happened to be Ola, Sasha, and Vanya, who arrived on her doorstep exhausted from a week's worth of travel just to get to Benica, because they had to come in through Poland to get into Slovakia. Spending more than one night in a railroad station or on a train car, you know, things like that that we don't understand. They arrived emotionally drained, and Barbara was able to sort of nurse them back a little bit. She does have a degree in psychology, which master's degree, so that allowed her to understand some of the things they were going through. But nobody really understands unless you experience it firsthand. Ola, Sasha, and Vanya stayed with Barbara for about 3 months. When the Ukrainian refugees were beginning to fly into Tijuana and walk across the border and apply for humanitarian parole, I sent the information to Barbara, and she shared it with Ola. And Ola and her husband Dima, who is still in Kyiv, began talking for 2 full days about, is this something that we want to do? Because this is a big step, not just distance-wise, but you're coming to a culture that is not Eastern European in any way, shape, or form. We do things a lot different than they do in Europe. I studied in Europe for 4 years, so I had that advantage of knowing some of the things that are different and recognizing what we would have to do here. One of the very important things is finding a sponsor, financial sponsor, which I was willing to do. I knew I had the backing of the parish, and I also knew I had the backing of the rest of the community, so it wasn't like I was going to have to do this on my own. But essential to bringing them here is having a place for them to stay, because the government is very concerned that any refugees we bring are not going to be turned out onto the street within a month, that they will be taken care of. And so that's one of the very first things we have to promise. Well, in order to promise that you're going to take care of them, is you have to have a place for them to stay. And realistically speaking, it can't be another room in your house. They have to have some independence. And so when we began talking about bringing the family here, I began to look at where are possible places. And places in Warren get soaked up pretty quickly. They don't stay open for very long. And so through Facebook, I was able to find a few places. I went and I sort of checked out the outside, checked out the neighborhood, making sure that there was some safety there for them. And that's when I got in contact through another person with Worley Industries, Lincoln Sikorsky, and Lincoln volunteered one of their apartments, which was absolutely perfect, block and a half from the church, 2-bedroom. I mean, it's just absolutely perfect for them. And so we're very thankful for his generosity, because he's giving it to them rent-free for the year. And I can't thank him enough. Before Ola came, Hank Lemur at Superior Tire had promised her a job, and in writing promised her a $20 an hour paycheck, full benefits, and that's huge. The generosity of Hank and Superior Tire, it's absolutely huge. But I found that there are many businesses in Warren who are willing to offer jobs. and benefits. But it's a slow process because you have to apply for working papers. And just recently, the federal government has pledged to expedite refugees' requests for working papers. So it would take a normal immigrant 6 months to a year to get working papers. They're hoping it will take less than a month. So we've submitted their request. They have gotten back an acknowledgement of the request for working papers, so we know the process is happening. We just don't know how fast the process is going to occur. But as we speak, Ola is down sort of learning the terrain of Superior Tire, just being introduced to everything. We were able to work with Key Bank and get her a savings account opened up, which is really unusual and difficult because generally speaking, you have to have a Social Security number, and Ola doesn't have one yet. It's part of the process of getting working papers, but gentleman that I was speaking with in refugee resettlement said his recommendation would be once the working papers are secured that we go to a Social Security office and apply for the number. Even though you're supposed to be able to get the number right through the working papers, you don't know how long it's going to take. And at least this way, if you go, you have a little more control over what's going on. So that's in the future. We're waiting for that to happen. In the meantime, people have rallied around, you know, what do they need? In the newspaper article that Josh Cotton wrote, I mentioned down the road we need a car. Well, I have already someone who volunteered a car. But again, in order to get a permit, you need a Social Security number. And I haven't really investigated. Maybe there's a workaround to that as well. I just haven't had time to investigate that. In talking with Piper, I know that Ola doesn't have a driver's license, which would have been an immense help for us. She doesn't, because a lot of Ukrainian women don't have driver's licenses, and that's what Piper said was her experience right. In talking to the people in Poland that she had spoken with. So we have to, you know, work on that. But knowing that somebody has already willingly donated a serviceable used car is huge. Before we bring people here, we do have to have housing. And speaking with both Tom and Piper before we came on the air, I suggested thinking outside the box would be maybe that we could raise money to secure a house and reformat it into apartments, allowing people to have their own independence and not have to worry about paying rent, because Ukrainian refugees, Medicaid is available to them, CHIPS is available to them, and so is cash assistance. But you kind of have to work through the system. And so we've initiated the start through the system, but we have no idea where that application is right now. So that'll be another little project I'll have, is just to check up on that. But if we could get a house, secure a house, and secure a few apartments, that way we're sort of limiting the scope. We're not looking for 50 people to bring in. We're looking to a few families, which might actually be more manageable for us. I mean, I'm terrified right now that something will happen that they're going to need hospital because they don't have hospitalization right now. And so I'm sort of terrified that something's going to happen. So people want to donate bikes. Okay, we got bikes for them. Usually the bikes sit in the laundry room because we don't want them to get out and get hurt. Sasha's birthday was June 6th. So I said to her, Sasha, what would you like for your birthday? And she said, a skateboard. Okay. I'm thinking to myself, man, there are so many ways you can get hurt on a skateboard. We're putting that off for a while. So, you know, maybe that will be your Christmas present.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And one thing that I think would be a really great opportunity is if we could bring more Ukrainian families here into this community, and that would give them a more opportunity to kind of be with other people that they might know a little bit better or be able to relate to a little bit better. And, you know, geographically, this area, there are definitely some major cultural differences. And like you guys had mentioned at the forum, it would be really ideal and really pretty cool if we could get a whole little community of them coming in here and being able to interact together and do that stuff. So we really hope that that would be something that could happen. And like you mentioned, what I wanted to make sure all the listeners understand is that it's really pretty simple to start with. If you happen to have an extra house that you have as a rental property, that would be a really great opportunity there that you could have multiple refugee families there. Or if you happen to have a property that you're working on fixing up, if you were to mention it to the initiative here, I'm sure you guys would be able to figure out a way where people could get help and get it all fixed up and ready to go. And that's the thing. It's really just a big group effort to get people here in Warren County to work together on this. And we know there's plenty of room available for this community to bring refugees in and have them grow and be really nice and culturally diverse. And I'd love to see that happen. So if there's other ways that people can, you know, donate and help, I would be, you know, really happy to be able to discuss those as well.
People ask me, what do they need? And I never know in advance what their needs are going to be until their needs arise. So obviously, housing is a huge need. Eventually, transportation is going to be a need. Other sort of things, believe it or not, there are a number of native Ukrainian speakers in Warren. And so when Ola came, the international phone that she had was really old technology, because it would have worked on a 3G network, but they turned those off when they turned the 5G network on. And so she can still use the phone to communicate with her husband via Wi-Fi. But this new friend of hers, who thought I was trying to protect Ola, I was trying to be a mediator, she actually ended up walking down to the apartment, knocking on the door and calling Ola, Ola, and speaking in Ukrainian. And she has really facilitated a lot of things for Ola, including getting her a new American cell phone that she can use to contact. So I generally text her to let her know things that are going on. Speaking over a phone, her ability to understand, because she's not looking at you and misses all the nonverbal cues, is hard for her yet. So she can always use her cell phone and look at the text and translate that text into Ukrainian. Google Translator has become a staple when we get into conversations that are difficult. But I think it's important that there are ways and there are people who speak Ukrainian who can help out, and that's really important as part of the community support.
You guys held a really, really wonderful forum on Friday evening, the 24th, and I wanted to talk with you a little bit, all of you together, and just kind of get an opinion from you all on how you thought it went as far as attendance goes, and if you guys are planning on holding any of them in the future, and if you do, what kind of goals you might have with those.
I would say we had a very positive experience Friday night. We had 75 people there, and I think that's pretty good for a Friday night and a nice summer evening. One of the things that we wanted to do and that we still want to do, and I think we're learning maybe how to tweak things to get better at this, is to connect the compassion that so many people feel just in hearing the story and seeing the need, to connect that compassion with something tangible that can be done. Provide a way for them to do something that not only brings relief to people who suffer, but also helps them to feel good because they are being compassionate. And that's a blessing for them to have that feeling. Obviously, giving money is a way to help. And it will be used doing the most wonderful and basic and human things possible. But there are other ways too. And especially if we end up, for example, finding a house that needs to be rehabbed, there's a whole lot of sweat equity that can go into that. And, you know, there may be people that don't have extra money to be able to donate, but they could wash walls, they could paint, they could do, maybe they have skills, maybe they're a carpenter, maybe they're an electrician, you know, whatever it is. So in some ways, I think our job as a steering committee is going to be connecting available talents and gifts with the needs. And we have to work on that. I had dinner last evening with a man who I know to be a very generous person in Butler County, and I was talking with him about our meeting on Friday night, and I really wasn't asking him to make a donation at all. I just was telling him what we're doing in Warren County. And he said, well, now how much does it cost to bring a family to Warren and keep them for a year? We need to know how much that costs. We don't really have the numbers yet. But, and I know this from another organization, that most of my Christmas presents to my family and friends are things like a cow or a goat or a chickens, a flock of chickens and things like that. And then there'll be a value, $100 for a cow or $50 for a goat or $15 buys 10 chicks. You know, we probably can realistically suggest $10 will buy so much medicine in Poland, or $50 would buy so much food. And, you know, if we are able to assign needs with smaller dollar amounts, it might be easier for people to say, oh, yeah, I want to pay $100 to feed a family, or maybe if $100 would feed several families at the place in Poland. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe you want to use the money and fuel the van that it takes to deliver
right.
the stuff, you know? I mean,
right.
there are plenty of ways that it could be beneficial. Thank you all for taking the time to join me today and talk about this. I'm really glad that we could go through this, and just wanted to ask if there were anything else that you guys would like to add in.
I would just encourage everyone to try to be positive, to think about possibilities. What can we do? Don't focus on, oh, it's too big a task, we can't do anything. Think about the little things that we can do. And if we put it all together, we're going to do something big.
It's easier to bring a family than most people think. Is it frustrating dealing with the slowness of certain things? Yes, it is. However, just the beauty of having a family here that is safe is an unbelievable resource for the people here in Warren. In fact, I had a lady come up to me just this morning and say, I'd like to meet the Ukrainian family. People want to be a part of what's going on. And I've found Warren people, because this is my hometown, to be very generous throughout my lifetime and my return here over the past 5 years. And together we can really do great things. We don't have to do the big, we can all do our little part, and then all those little parts make it big. So
absolutely. Well, thank you all for joining me here today, and we're going to be looking forward to everything that you guys have been working on, and I can't wait to see what you've got going on and come to fruition.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.
Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, and I'm inviting you to tune in to Community Matters Sunday morning starting 8:30 a.m. brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through the issues that matter to you right here in Warren at 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on Warren's Country Station, 104.3 Kinzu Country.
Lakeshore Community Services is doing it again, paying you great wages to work at Erie's best social service agency. Our new sign-on bonus is $2,700. That's right, $2,700. And only high school or GED required to qualify. Apply today and start at $15.60 an hour. Great pay, great job, making a difference. Find out more and apply at lakeshorecs.org. That's lakeshorecs.org. Lakeshore Community Services.